Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Just about 7 minutes after 5 o'clock. I want to welcome you back to the Overdrive here on Freedom 106.5. That's the voice of Inner Circle. This one's called Bad Boys. Officially, the song for this segment called Police and You. I have JC Small, Sergeant JC Small on the line. Good afternoon, JC Small. Welcome back.
This is my brother. Good evening, Trinidad and Tobago.
Hey, buddy. We have plenty. Too much thing to talk about this afternoon, boy.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, no, man. Oh, they're coming in for a little pong in the day, no? Yeah. Tell me. Well, boy, let me start things off with all your commissioner police, all your boss lady. All your boss lady, you know, jump out she whole self recently and said, you know, XYZ is the case. And now she recognized. Now, I want to make it very clear to persons. The lady didn't give up, eh? She didn't throw her hands in the air and said, hey. She said, an evil has spread over the land, and we must recognize those who are spiritually inclined. You must recognize that this is beyond the physical, and unless we seek the intervention of that greater spirit, whatever we may call him, we know we have different religions, so you can call on him God, those of you who call him Allah or Krishna. All of us, if not all of us, 99% of us believe in a superior being. Trinidad and Tobago, back to that place where we want to be. Now, this doesn't sound like she says she throwing her hands up. She was just saying that, you know, the crime and the criminality in this country, the murder rate is so heinous and so much that we do need an intervention from a divine spiritual being. And that spiritual being doesn't mean that we have to go by the Obia man. She was just saying, whatever religious sect you belong to, bruise a knee and say a word.
Brother, you talking like you interpreted right?
Well, this is it. You know, spread a word. I understand we have some bums came for the Spain at this time, but anyway, don't know how true it is. But, Sergeant, I want to say to you this afternoon, we have a problem, sir. We have a problem that's plaguing our society, and it's rearing its ugly head time and time again. 2 days ago, earlier this week, I want to say around Tuesday, I think it was Monday, early part of this week, in a particular secondary school in the eastern part of Trinidad, there were 6 fights in 1 day. 6. Then social media images and videos surfaced from Southeast Port of Spain School, where we saw multiple infractions again. This time, we were able to see police officers carting away some of these young lads that was involved in the fracas. Now, this is affecting our communities, you know, officer. It is.
Definitely.
So, I mean, I ain't asking you for solutions here, nobody. Asking you, you know, how can we as a citizen, boy, really get back our schools? It breaks my heart, boy, because I have children. And I don't want to ever pick up my phone and in some group chat and see one of my sons in either the perpetrator or the recipient of that. I don't know if, I mean, if he's the recipient, I don't know how I go, I don't know how I feel and deal with it, you know. So, I mean, help us here this afternoon with some sort of idea, some thought that, you know, what you guys have in the pipeline, how you personally feel about it, what you recommend. Vigilante justice is not it. So then what do we do? Do we throw our hands up?
I want to say that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I am ready for you to jump in here. You know?
Yes. I say we need a multi-sectorial approach. right? A multi-sectoral approach. You have an issue of violence, physical violence. One, you need to understand that the act itself, in terms of engaging in fights and assaults and that kind of thing, is against the laws of Trinidad and Tobago. So, from the position of the police service, you have a zero tolerance approach to that. As a matter of fact, any of these fights happening within our view, we have a power to arrest the perpetrators. I mean, notwithstanding, we keep in mind the judges' rules for children and the protocols in terms of their rights, constitutional rights, and so on. But we have a responsibility to arrest, right? Notwithstanding all of that, it's important for me to really, you know, get to the, as an, and I said in the last program, get to the root cause. You know, what is the reason behind, and root causes could go so far and wide, but we need to find out, in each situation, what is the reason? You know, it's important to engage these children, whether we want to utilize our psychologists and our social workers. Now, they have their system mechanism in terms of the student support services, and obviously, they will have some information, the principal, the staff members, the cleaner in the school, everybody will have information as to a reason why. And we need to, whereas they had a conflict and they didn't resolve it, and they, you know, we have to get to the root cause to be able to really address this. We need parents on board. We need all stakeholders on board. Even on the last program, I remember talking about religious instruction, RI, returning to that. So similar to the mindset of the commissioner of police or leader, I agree that we need even the spiritual leaders on board, because these children need people to engage them in the community. So we need people to be telling them the same thing over and over in the community, in the schools. And even if it is, we have to bring in people who would have experienced certain things in the past and they want to share their experience and testimonies and get the religious leaders to come and talk to them, it's important for us to do that. It's important for us to pray and do all these things. We're not saying we train our hands in the air as an organization. We are saying that we need all stakeholders on board, even the religious leaders. So, you know, we've seen a situation in terms of fights here. I mean, it's not happening in all these schools, to be honest, but it's certain schools that over and over define themselves involved in these types of activities. And I'm saying that we need to get to the root cause, identify the true problem, and really engage these children in a different way. Show them that you do have to resort to physical violence, even if it is they have a conflicting view or unresolved conflict, you could resolve it. But I mean, it has so many different alternatives. Sports, culture, arts, you can join the scouts, the Girl Guides, the police, the clubs. It has so many different options, but we need to really reiterate to them, as I say, get the parents on board, the national PTA, everybody needs to work together to really treat with this situation in terms of violence in schools.
Well, now that you say that, I'm talking about from listening to some of these students talk, eh? And you can hear the level of arrogance and ignorance in their tone. Now, it has some parents, not backward, you know, but officer. It has some parents right now, they deal with situations aggressively towards their children. They are mothers and fathers that literally, in the talking and disciplining of their children, they use obscene language to talk to their children. So even if we get them involved, parents like that, guardians like that, I don't know if you ever come across any, but they curse the children. What the mother so-and-so wrong with you? I have a fin cough in your head, and oh boy. They speak to their young ones like that. And I'm talking about primary school level, you know. I have heard parents on a primary school level deal with their children like that, you know. I mean, JC, you tell me, a parent like that, how do we get them?
To be honest, not everybody will have it right. You know, we're in a generation where, you know, in terms of prophecy, children making children and that kind of thing, right? So people really need people to share experiences. So, for example, we had a situation in the enterprise community in the Christie Terrace area in particular, and I could talk about it because we big enough, and you know, we have a close working relationship with the parents of our membership. I know I big up to Officer Richards as a speaker this time. Where we saw the need for a parenting workshop, we realized even the parents needed a level of support and certain knowledge and experiences to be shared and education. And we invited the Ministry of Social Development and Family Services, Mr. Khan and Mr. Goodman. They came down and we were able to really, you know, through Families in Action, that NGO, we were able to work together to talk about parenting. good parenting, bad parenting, what, you know, things that parents should do, ways that parents can discipline their children. And, you know, when we really discuss it, you know, it helped, it has helped. And, you know, I don't want to boast, but, you know, many of our children who would have had issues with their parents before, the parents coping with them better now, and the children even coping better, because we're able to share with the children and share with the parents and, you know, come to a mutual place together. And that's why other organizations like churches and temples and mosques and, you know, same thing the commissioner was alluding to. I understand a point loud and clear, you know, in that we need even the religious leaders to come on board and, you know, reiterate spiritual values, moral values, ethical values to our society, including parents and children. So when you see parents behaving like that, I mean, sometimes they may listen to the average man on the street or the police, they find the police jumping them, you know, by the end of the day. And it's from the religious leader that, you know, even when no one is watching, God is watching. That is so critical for people to understand. And, you know, it will put them in the mindset that, hey, what's going on? Despite where I am, whether people are looking or not, I need to do the right thing. So, parenting workshops helps. You know, some years ago, did the Common Sense Parenting Program with Ms. Corinne Jackman and there with St. Dominic's Children Home. You know, and so many to learn, so many things to learn from these types of programs. And I want to encourage more parents, when they see these things advertising, don't just skip it. You know, we like to share all the fights and all the hype and the negative. Share the positive, share the information. So many, look today, just today I saw that Ministry of Agriculture put out an ad where you could go and learn to drive the backhoe and the excavator and the dump trucks and all these sort of things. Free of charge, absolutely free. A lot of online courses, so many different things available to us, but we prefer to share the negative. Why? Why we inclined to share?
I want you to send that information for me as well. Let's take a phone call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, Davey, I now locked back in there. And while I was here in the land capital, I heard this guy speaking there. And I know so many things he's saying. I know this even has coming up there, right? And capital is going to change that orange. And I know I have the two sons, man. And I just try to let them know that, hey, no matter nobody watching, do the correct thing. But I reach by a junction and I see a little learner driver in front. So I tell them, I say, boy, a learner driver to learn to drive good enough. So I like, I hope I take on the right in that pass, I don't know. But I just let them know, I say, don't do that. There is something wrong that you do there. That's not the correct thing to do. You know, you gotta tell them, you know, we just try to do things and do identify to the children, hey, I wrong or I made a mistake. It's not the way to do it. You know, we just feel, and we don't really know how important that is, eh? To say that they're wrong and always try to practice the correct thing in front of them, because at the end of the day, what you practice, and let you can't teach them one thing right, and then you may practice, you're not perfect, so you may slip up here and there, but let them know that, hey, daddy slip up, but you wasn't supposed to do that, you wasn't supposed to do this thing, so you wasn't supposed to handle it like this. And I know that is a conversation I had to keep having with children as they're growing up, eh? And a conversation with the sales staff, and I know sometimes I just somewhere when the other day, and an age person, right? And there's a break a line, and I watch him and say, but now, nah, I mean, you know, we say with it now, right? I mean, you have children, you may have grandchildren, and that is the way you just break the line. You could have said, excuse me, you know. So, you know, I don't know, these simple things, we just feel a joke. And at the end of the day, we cement certain habits and certain cultures. And then at the end of the day, we want to know why this society is so wise, but we taking these little things for granted, which are the positive values that shape us and have us where we are, where we're able to have, where we can be talking, how we're talking now. So, partner, whoever talking that, I don't really get the name. All hands on deck. Everything that, and according to what they added there, the commissioner, the spiritual leaders, I think they have fallen down on the job due to the, you know, the hustling society. Everybody's so hustle and busy. You can remember, all children, when you're young, you need this guide and this spiritual guide, and you need to reinforce. Sometimes they might listen to you, but by the leader enforcing, having little program and sessions with them, they tend to assistants they'll get, one home from you and the outside they get to reinforce. Lockdown, listen, but we try to give us a suggestion to make sure that they're at that place. Bye.
Thank you. The numbers to call are 627-3223, 625-2257, or you can send a WhatsApp to me at 306-1065. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, Davey, I'm online, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm on the air. Yeah, listen, Bonnie Ali from Arima, some other stations know me. I have some answers to give to the problems we have in the country, you know. But for me to be able to do it, I will need a camera on me. I will need a blackboard, a chalk, and a group of people taking notes. I'm going to outline some plans for them. I have it. But it is based on experiences that I have had in my lifetime. and I am bet your bottom dollar it's going to work.
Well, I will.
One is to curb the crime with the criminals, to discipline them. And the second one is to bring PAN back into the arms of Trinidad from the World Web, bring back PAN to TNT. And the third one has to do with music censorship.
Well, what will happen? I can make a call to my good one of my good friends out there in the Chagones Chamber of Commerce, and there's a nice little venue called Signature Hall. You can send me your information via WhatsApp to 306-1065. You take note of it. I'm quite certain I can inveigle the good officer Small there to be a part of this, and sure, we would hold a nice forum and bring you in to listen to your initiatives.
Okay, who am I speaking with? Am I speaking to Davy?
You're speaking to Davy, yes.
Okay, Mr. Davy, congratulations that I can meet with you. My name is Rahul Ali. I am partially blind right now, but I have cataracts to cut. And I listen to radio from since last year to now. I'm lucky to speak to you. And I was wondering if there was a divine reason, some spiritual reason, why I could not reach you. But I was going to give this plan to Andy Williams, who is a friend of mine, but for some reason, they are on pushback. I can't do it. It is you I have to give it to. And my plan is going to work. My first plan, I will give it a name. It is called Fishers of Men.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have to be artistic in our approach to things, you know, very artistic. Like diplomacy, you have to employ diplomacy in things. You can't just come straight out and do it.
Well, you can leave a number with me now, and we most definitely will give you a call.
Okay, you have to help me because I can't see too well. So my number is 338-5419. I don't know if it shows up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I am willing to come forward and volunteer my nationalistic plan that is going to work.
All right, buddy. What's your name again?
Rahul Ali, but I am known as Bunny Ali.
All right, Bunny Ali. Okay, Mr.
Ali. I'll give
you
a clue of something. The guy you're speaking to right now, which is me, I and Ras Shorty I put together Soka.
Interesting.
That's how good it is in my walk through life now.
All right.
I just picked up things over the years, and they are of meaning. I can give back to thee. And I'm willing to give back to my country.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're most welcome. And I don't know what you're going to do, but you have my number, eh?
We'll be in touch. Don't worry.
Okay, Mr. Davy, be good and take care.
All right, buddy. Same to you. I mean, Small, we could work with the man. The man, see, he has a plan.
Yeah.
You know?
And we need more people like that.
That's what I'm saying. More. To share. Somebody is messaging me and telling me that we need to stop stereotyping Obia and stop being afraid of Obia. Obia is not evil. All right. Well, some kind of dark forces over the land, some kind of juju, because people behavior are not natural towards others, towards men. And we need to find a systematic plan that will really help. I mean, Sergeant Small just gave some wonderful initiative and ideas in terms of, you know, bringing the entire community together in order to curb this thing, because we need each other. We do. How do you want the police to solve these crimes if you have information and refuse to give them a chance to do their job? Simple. Hello.
Hello, David. Good evening to you and to the listening audience.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for the opportunity to just share a little concern. While everybody is going on to the utterances of the Commissioner of Police, I would really like the population to spare a moment to inquire from Stuart Young, who gave him the authority to go to Venezuela and make some private arrangement, a non-disclosure clause with negotiations with the Venezuelan people. Wow. For whatever reason, whether it's a gas deal. That is the taxpayers' money.
But right now, we're discussing police and you, so we're not really dealing with that issue. So that's a tomorrow topic, but I like it.
So okay, So let me just throw in a 2 cents with the police.
Mm-hmm.
Some years ago, I think 2009, 2010, Mexico would have fired about 10 to 15% of their police force because they were corrupted by whatever means they would have used. Today we see some young police officers, which is not hard to detect. Less than 10 years service, these fellas have 2 and 3 green band maxi taxi working on the priority bus route. Does someone need a rocket science to form an opinion to start to conduct an inquiry? And these are the simple things that the seniors will not take up, because you know why? That is the batch who is now a senior. That is his nephew. That is his son. Recent case, the commissioner of police nephew who allegedly committed murder in the penal area. And he was untouchable. He didn't wake up a morning and committed that. It would have been a built up. So the authorities, as much as people want to cast aspersions on government and organizations, the police themselves have to look within. Because all the solutions, or most of it, is there. Thank you very much.
One of the things I want to say to that caller, Sergeant Small, is that is it against the law for an officer to own more than one maxis? Or some?
Absolutely not.
I don't know. I mean, if a police officer...
Once you didn't get any money from illegal means...
Well, yeah. What investigation?
You know, people taking the loan and banning their belly and, you know, taking permission from the commissioner of police to be able to do business, do something else to make an extra dollar. I was saying, doing nothing illegal, nothing is wrong with us.
I mean, we work, I mean, nothing in preventing me from going and sell corn soup. I work on Freedom, I work for Guardian Media Limited, but I can go and sell corn soup. I can't work for Next Media House, but I can go and sell corn soup. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Dorbasa, quickly.
Yes, you can sell coconuts and what? Yeah, I know the guy who's coconuts on Saturday. Yeah. You know, there is no evil stalking the land. There is no evil. Let me get that right. What we have here is a case of people not nurturing their offspring long enough. You will see that there are different periods of nurturing for different creatures. And some birds, as soon as your feather grow, you get picked out there, and if you don't fly, you don't fly. We don't need birds that can't fly, so you're just dead, because you're going to reproduce like that, and that's not helping us, you know. So that's how the thing works. That's how nature works. Our offspring, as human beings, need about 25 years of nurturing. Now, we have arbitrarily 18 years when we didn't know the science. Because usually at that age, 18 is kind of indistinguishable physically from somebody that's 20, 25, and so on. And they look mature. They look like they ain't going to change much for a good period. So we had given that around the world, but that's wrong. It has now been scientifically established that the human brain is fully developed around 24, 25. Right? So we are allowing very young children to grow up without any guidance. They are born in homes, they are born in all kinds of unstructured environments, and they give us this. Now, you might say, well, this particular child here or there was not in that. He's mingling, right? And why don't the bad ones mingle and be like the good ones? Well, statistically, we've seen that it works where the good ones go bad. It just happens that way. You know, that's some kind of imbalance universe or whatever it is, but the good ones go bad, and the bad ones don't turn good because they associate with a couple good ones. I'm just using good and bad as broad terms. I don't know the proper terms for it. I haven't studied these things. So I'm just saying that we have not been minding our children in the proper human environment and taking care of their needs and in the process forcing them to be innovative long before they should be, and creative long before they should be in their relationship. And that has given us the chaos that we have now. We have to admit it. There is no evil stalking the land. The evil is, if there's any, and we'll define it like this, the evil is the evil parents who are not owning up to their rights and responsibilities. Thank you.
How do you respond to something like that, Sarge? Yeah, how do you respond to something like that?
Well, he said a lot, but I mean, it's his view. Everybody entitled to the view. I may not necessarily agree with everything that he said, but, you know, I'm happy he felt compelled to share, and that's just his view.
All right, let's take another call. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good afternoon to the office. You know, a man raised an argument some time ago. A man called the said resistance and said, the commissioner of police said that there are corrupted policemen in Shabana. I said, you might have to lock up. And a man come here just now to tell me that the officers, because a green man maxi doesn't run, to say run on the bus, you leave for that Spain, and when he reach, I carry these things off. So then I guess he had to be talking about, when he say green man, he had to be talking about big ones. And he's telling us that apparently for these men to fire these maxi taxis, they have to be in some level of corruption. And I'm saying, if you have all that evidence, then take it to the police.
Diamond point.
And you know something? Well, Bassett says big statement about that. The Prime Minister said to us on Friday, it is up to parents to do it on Tuesday, to do their role. And the commissioner pulled, because they were going, I could be the best parent. And if I didn't instill, a man who go in and kill somebody, and a man could be pulling on a robbery with a firearm, and the man robbing decide to put up a resistance, and accidentally the man pull the trigger and the man get killed. He didn't deliberately go to kill the man. But because he have a firearm and the man attack him because you come to take my phone, and I decide I fight him back for my phone, I fire a shot and you pick up on your bed. We because the commissioner of police says I just take 3,000 bullets off. So each bullet is a human being life. So who are you? I can't know when you go in and kill somebody. So the only out is that I would hope that divine intervention will get in your mind before you go and rob the man and think about what you're doing is wrong. It's not that the commissioner of police is calling on God. I think the commissioner of police is calling on us to put God inside of us to stop doing the wrong thing. Enjoy your evening, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Appreciate. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Easy. Good afternoon to the officer on the line and to our listeners. Davey, what I think Durbasa Trace is trying to say in layman terms is the point I wanted to raise, that there are a lot of reasons for the state of the country at large, more so the crime. However, it begins at home. So, I mean, Durbasa Trace went into detail as to the nurturing elements of parents and all of that. But what we have to keep in mind when I say it starts from home is that all homes are not built the same way. And what you find prevalent, as the officer alluded to, is children making children in this day and age. So you have a lot of cases of broken homes, poverty-stricken homes, homes that are found in the center of a crime spot. And this is the type of socialization that these children are coming out of. And then when you look at what's taking place in our school system, that is supposed to be an avenue of change, an agent for mobilization, education is supposed to be a tool to help children elevate themselves. It is also working against them because you have bullying, you have children coming from either the two stark ends of the stick, from wealthy homes or poverty-stricken homes, and the bullying comes from both sides, because one, I think I'm better than you, or two, I come from a home that I can't get enough, so I'm targeting someone stealing, being unkind. But again, it starts from home, and I think that's where the social reform has to be refocused, in that all these plans and proposals to get programs and whatever it is going, it really has to be on the foundation of what the home means, what the home stands for, what are our family values. If you have a single parent home, how do you get proper one? If it's a father, how you get father figures involved, how you get mother figures involved, and things like that. So it cannot just be about, yes, nurturing until the age of 25 and children leave the nest, but it has to go a little bit deeper than just parents, because as you rightfully said, people need people, and therefore if the breakdown of the home is that people are not getting the support they need from these external elements like religion and all those other things, there is an evil element, and the element is that we are losing focus on what this life really is about. So I think we can't lose the message in that. And we as individuals, while we might call in, and so we have to listen to ourselves and take our own advice. It starts with all of us as an individual, because where police officers are concerned, police officers, who are they? Essentially, who are these officers? They start from the home. They are somebody's child, husband, father, whatever it may be. They are human. human beings at the end of the day. So I think we cannot lose sight of these things. But as usual, I mean, your program is an avenue to create change, and I hope we get somewhere with it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and concerns. I really appreciate it. Hello, good afternoon.
Evie, good afternoon to you and the officer.
The officer is listening.
Right, good evening. But do we find the definition of crime, as the woman said, the crime start from home? Because let me go back in the days, right?
Mm.
Right, and just last maybe 15, 20 years, we saw the whole country where everything just changed into violence and ignorance and the behavior of our people. It didn't start just so, you know, crime didn't start just so. Now, police now have to have certain, they do their training or what, but a police must have proper training. You must have information. You must do investigation and these things in order for we to combat, to deal with the elements that we have out there. But I guess the police service need a little more. They don't have what it takes, I believe, to have the initiative to be more a force to reckon with. That long ago when you see a police, we pay respect to them, just watching the uniform. But no, you don't see that. People don't fear police no more. You know, and there's the problem. I mean, long ago, you hardly had any breaking and entering home invasion. Check out these guys going into your home, going into businesses, and killing people. Like what I do, the guy was sleeping. We're afraid to even go there and, you know, do something wrong because you fear what will happen because there's no fear in people no more. This is why the officers, the police service, had to start up with that fear into the people and let them know, like, they're in charge and be coming for you. But I guess the police service have a lot to do. I'm not blaming the police service. I'm blaming the mothers, the fathers, you know, the family and the house. That is where crime starts, I believe. And then that prison service that they manufacture more crime, because when you have somebody going there for a little minor crime and they're going in inside a day, they come back out and they commit more crime. The judiciary service is still in Trinidad and Tobago. Just recently we've seen that the U.S. government is telling our government that they're failing. All these signs to let us know Trinidad is falling apart, not only the police service, but even in the homes, family services, everything is falling apart, it's crumbling. Trinidad, they say Trinidad is not a nice place. We have to make it a nice place if we want to live in it. But according to the commissioner, there's no love in the home no more. And this is it. This is my point. Bring back the love in the house, family-wise. You know, maybe property have something to do with it. We don't know. We just ask any question. Okay, please. Take care, thanks.
All right. Now, when I think about certain things, small, I want to ask you this. When a police officer is driving a particular vehicle and the vehicle is not 100% roadworthy, and why I say that, let's take the number plates, the license plate on the vehicle, for example. It is defaced. However, the officers of that said vehicle have stopped to give another motorist a ticket for the face license plate when the vehicle that they are driving is missing a letter or two. How do you think, as a police service, it makes you guys look when you have to deal with the public knowing that they are watching you?
To be honest, the police didn't create the law. And in regards to the police vehicle, our vehicles go through inspection. You know, it have a lot of protocols in relation to the police vehicles.
Mm.
However, if the police vehicle, the number plate could have break for it, could happen that same day. You never know. I don't know the scenario in terms of that particular situation, right? But it doesn't mean that because you see the police have a defective ID plate, it means that it is right for you to have a defective ID plate. The police have a power in law, not that they're going to abuse their power, but I mean, if it is a detector offense, you know, the law requires you to act. You could imagine we park up a police vehicle and say the number plates have a crack and not respond to calls to service to the public. How the public going to crucify the police for that?
No,
so we, you know, damn if you do, damn if you don't, but no, we have a responsibility to make Trinidad and Tobago a safe place together with the citizens of Trinidad and Tobago. And we cannot use excuses like, I mean, I don't know the scenario, but the police was on patrol, they detect something, and they responded. So I say kudos to the police. And, you know, we always working through our vehicle inspection and through our officers who in charge of vehicles and the divisional commanders to ensure that our vehicle are roadworthy and in good working order. We're not perfect, but we are doing our best.
And that is what we can ask, eh? But it's interesting that you said that, you know, it could happen the same day. Now, it came up on social media and persons were talking about it. And I said, when, you know, we get the good sergeant on the phone with our interviewing police and you, we would mention it. Now, the fact that you can say that it could have happened that day, similar to a motorist. So, I mean, in my opinion, I'm thinking that maybe government erred when they were making those laws. I mean, it should have been mandatory that if you see a defaced number plate or a bulb, as it were, while you remove the demerit points, it should be a situation where instead of ticketing the person, maybe a warning. And if an officer should stop them 2 days later for the same offense when they have had ample time to repair it, then it's your fixed penalty. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? I don't know.
Well, I mean, the police are not the lawmakers, eh? And I don't want to go into, you know, how I think the law should be. You know, the law is... We are just enforcers of the law. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that we cannot use our discretion, but I cannot falter or blame or say the officer did something wrong by doing his job. I commend him for doing his job. And to the person who had the defective ID plate, so picture this. We have a lot of lasting motor vehicles and things happening in the country.
Mm.
And people just taking off plate and putting on plate. We cannot allow people to drive around with defective ID plate because it might be a crack in this instance. It might be missing a number. And, you know, we do want to encourage that level of that mindset.
That lackadaisical approach.
They should be lawless.
You want people
to be law abiding. You want people to do the right thing because the police in scenarios where it's difficult in terms of to acquire information like from vehicle, because we're seeing a tele people different vehicle, they're changing the plate, man driving on with brick plate and now TFA vehicle. This morning I had a Larceny motor vehicle in Central Division, and I must say big up to Senior Superintendent P and his team, the administration of the Central Division, that in record time, just after this incident happened, the police was able to respond and apprehend the suspects, you know? So, I mean, we had a look at the bigger picture and not encourage lawlessness.
I agree. Because, I mean...
I understand something. Just imagine the getaway vehicle crashing into another vehicle, and, you know, thankfully, police response was quick enough that we was able to apprehend. So you see, when criminals and they move forward, they just be lawless and don't care. And we have to understand that, too. That is something that is plaguing the society, a level of criminality, and the police have to act. But we cannot do this work alone. We need the support, the buying, the information, everything from the public. And it's important for us to care about our jobs. You know, we have an acronym called PRIDE, our core values, which speaks to professionalism, respect, integrity, dignity, and excellence. And I urge all my colleagues, say, you know, consider your core values, consider the different aspects of policing. I mean, one, look, right now we have been rolled out a train-the-trainer program for the, in terms of the GRACE program, the Trinidad and Tobago Police Service rolling out this program as we speak.
Mm.
You know, I'm funded by the U.S. State Department, INL, and is about, the acronym GRACE means Gang Reduction and Community Empowerment.
Mm.
And, you know, we really focusing on, you know, community-oriented policing, intelligence-led police. We're not doing away with our evidence-based policing or problem-oriented policing, but, you know, it's a whole collaborative approach internally, and, you know, we're encouraging all stakeholders to come on board, even media personnel like you. We thank you for this opportunity where we could share and educate the public, and, you know, this program will continue to grow, I pray, but we encourage everybody to work with us.
I think this program is one that is fostering something great for the community, in all honesty. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, David.
Uh-huh.
Right, you know, last time I remember this officer small game because he had some real instructive in his hand last week, and I know, David, you know, for a man that can stop by the police and then say, well, the police, we grab a broken light and sort of thing. What we need to do, we know the law. When they take up a vehicle, right, we know, we are aware of the law, right? It's about dialogue, broken at the basically. Because sometimes, too, You may have other defects, but just the lights are in the map plate may attract the attention of the police. But he's right, because sometimes you should know to relieve somebody of a vehicle and just switch a plate. So, you don't want this chap plate looking funny. They need to really examine it. Also, I think your officer there, you know, David, there are people who, citizens then, who offer to assist the police vehicles with normal thing, but you have a policy, you just can't take a policy and pack it up by a man and say, but you got to put up the appearance and put on a light. There are certain procedures, a certain red tapes and green tapes. He will explain that to you. So now a lot of people, citizens, offer to assist the police with doing minor thing on the vehicles, but just that. The police just can't get themselves driving a vehicle into a garage and so on, just get a light or something changed. Maybe a bulb, but you know anything more than that. So you will explain that to us. You know, it won't be as simple as, you know, we just speaking as it is. And the other day, during some European system, two people speak about damage. And I see, you know, and then they get his vehicle repaired, the ones that are red tape as well. You will let you know, as the, if you have enough time to save in the shell, maybe next week. Lockdown is then by and.
All right.
All blessings with your officer.
All right. Thank you very much. I mean, I hear you with the whole process and thing like that. And you know, big up to the colleagues for doing it. But as we come back to the episodes with school, a recommendation came for officers to be in the classrooms. How do you feel about that?
The police has so much issues occurring to deal with. Notwithstanding that, we have patrols, you know, through the community oriented policing section of the police service. You know, Superintendent Hospitalis and his team, ASP Archibald, they ensure that every day the officers of the community-oriented policing section visits the school and try to be proactive in terms of working with the children and bringing programs with other stakeholders to the school. So the police presence is there, you know, but we want people, even because the police wouldn't be there every minute, because sometimes in the school, they get a report, it's important that the urgent people have to respond and have to leave. You know, but respect authority. Respect your deans, respect your teachers, your principal. You know, down to the cleaner in the school, you must respect the security officers.
Yeah.
And you, why the police have to be here to govern, you know, people. I just want people to fear the police or children to fear the police and that kind of thing, but they must respect authority on a whole in general. My mission is not to go out there to try to make people afraid me. That is not what the police service is about, but we want to encourage citizens to be law-abiding. So police presence in the school, I welcome it. But not in the way that people think, and probably need to come with this iron fist. And, you know, children behave in a particular way, they need to understand it's going to have consequences for action. They're going to be arrested, but I don't want people to think that, you know, we are about just coming to have this iron fist approach for the youngsters. I think they need more than that, and we could do more for them than that, you know, and try to encourage them to be law-abiding and patriotic citizens of Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm. All right. I got it. Let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Morning, Lizzie, good afternoon. Mike, and to the officer there, my concern is the Education Act 26, Regulation 2027, making it very clear. The first job responsibility of the principal and the teacher is the physical safety of the child. Physical safety of the child. Then you have the psychological and other aspects of the child. If the teacher and the principal cannot protect the child in school, they are bullies in school. You think some lady teachers can go in a court with students fighting, even male teachers? Teachers are not trained to fight. Unless I give teachers training in karate and they're going to teach now. The safety of the child is important, the physical safety. My child goes to school, somebody hurt the child, and the principal and teacher cannot protect the child. What do you want me to do? Take it, sir?
So
I know I approach the principal and then you know, call the principal, he call you and the child's parents and so on and try to work it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Normally you do that. You get the parents involved, the principal and teacher there and they try to work it out. But if you repeat yourself, what happens? I say my major concern, please. There's a term called the en loco parentis. As the child hit the school, you know, the promises, that child is yours. And local parents in place of the parent. That child is yours. And you have to look after each child in your classroom. You find in classroom there are bullies. They have to be taken aside and dealt with. All right?
All right.
But we have, my major concern is the protection of every child in all our schools, the physical protection. Because one day a parent may run amok. If a car serve, I'll walk into school and you'll do what? And I will hate to see that, Daisy. We don't want to see that. So we want to get put safety officers in the hotspot schools, not only hotspot school, Daisy. Safety officers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your contribution. Appreciate it. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah. You made a very salient point there, boy. I know it has some parents just look down on cleaners and security guards in the school, not realizing that your child needs to respect everybody in the school. And I just always let my sons them know, hey, well, let me tell you something, fellas. Yeah, the taller one, he may be taller than most of the cleaners in the school. He may be taller than the guard, but at the end of the day, partner, You have to respect everybody, because that's the thing I enforce. Yeah, and you come out my car, you have to come out the car with the shirt on the pants, the partner, not walking in the compound, shirt on the pants. Come out the car, put your shirt on your pants. If we as parents enforce these guidelines, as the good officer saying there, the challenge of everybody could be less, because that's our job. Right? And I know, for us, good all due respect to you, the child is in the care of you, but we are the parents responsible for the discipline of our children. And we need to, let me tell you something. If any day, any of them give you any talk, if my back answer, you call me one time, and I have fella, I always believe in the put something in the butt. Don't let nothing bypass. Give him one little form of disrespect, deal with it one time. Don't let father and say, well, what, you know, no. Get a nip it in the bud, because when I let the bud grow too hard and the tree get hard, you can't bend it afterwards. You gotta chop it down. Which chop it down means you gotta call the police. And you don't want that result. So the responsibility is us. Right, and where the parenting lacking is when the spirit of people and other people are supposed to come in to assist those parents that they know that may not be able to hide the hand or do no better. Plenty and do no better even. Lock down and listen. Bye.
All right. Thanks very much. Somebody's asking, if a driver gets a ticket for number plate or bulb, can this ticket price include an immediate repair at, say, a Vemco shop? Government gets revenue, but the issue is resolved and citizens get value for money. Well, to be honest, the police can't answer that. But what I would say to you guys is that if you go Vemco, you gotta pay. The government gain revenue, the police giving you a ticket, as the good officer said, is they're doing their job. And they're really there to uphold the law and enforce the law. That's what the police officers, they're there to protect and serve. And part of their protecting and serving you is to enforce the law. They're charged with that responsibility. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. We're live on air.
We're live on air with Tavy and Sergeant JC Small.
Okay, so I'm happy that I got through. And I'm speaking from a place of being in a school environment.
Uh-huh.
I listened to Sergeant J.C. Small in terms of some of the things that he said, which made a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to take into consideration that the school environment has a discipline problem. All right? And I agree with the multilateral approach. But we all need to operate and function within our remit in terms of our job description and what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand policing, community policing and we're looking at the root causes of crime and so on. That's a long-term effect in terms of fixing the situation. But right now, there's a need for an immediate intervention. Now, in the school environment, the minister had placed community police in schools and so on. And the community police in schools is just more or less a presence for a time being within the school environment. Now, within the school environment, there are also guidance, social workers, safety officers, which most of the time persons leave out, who was a very vital and integral part in terms of mitigating against school indiscipline within the school community. In fact, the safety officers were supposed to be the police in the schools in terms of treating with the school violence. Now, the discipline issue at the school, the social workers and so on, children are referred and all of that, all the good things that are done to try some sort of intervention at the school level. But the school, remember, the school is an institution. It's for teaching. So when the school has tried via the supporting staff that the ministry has placed there, and these children continue to be lawbreakers, and they are taken before the police, they are not charged. No examples are set. And I'm talking from being on the inside. And these children return to the same environment. All right, now, as I say, I agree with the community policing effect in terms of the root causes of crime, but we still need to take into consideration that, and Sergeant Jassy Small made the statement that The police have a job to do, and we will take person before the court. But while he may say that, that is not actually what is taking place within the school communities, because you have the same children who commit offense and come back to the school environment. Nothing is done. They are not charged. You take them to the station, the police back and forth as to who to charge, get the MTS, get this one. And then the child returns to the school environment and nothing is done. So the principal, the teachers, persons are frustrated.
Thank you so much.
So we need to take that into consideration.
All right. Thank you so much. Now, Sergeant Small, we will have to revisit this in the next Police and You segment because the topics are broad, if you agree. You know, and this guy raised some very, very good points. And we are out of time in terms of because we are less than a minute away from our news. So, Sergeant Small, are you there? Want to say much love and thanks to you?
Yes, man, I'm here.
I want to say, and our senior muters, I want to say much love and thanks. I look forward. We have to go part two to this whole approach with the school. We definitely will revisit next week, okay?
Yes, my brother. Thanks, man.
Most welcome. See you soon. All right, so that's Sergeant Small there inside Police and You for this week. And that wraps the show up for today, being Thursday. Today is actually the 16th day in the month of March in the year 2023 and not 1962. We say much love and thanks to all our callers and listeners here this afternoon. Look forward to having you back with me tomorrow inside Freedom Fridays, where any topic that we missed today or missed during the week and you want to bring it up tomorrow, Freedom Fridays will give you the opportunity to do such, all right? And like I said, anything that's trending, we'll get to it.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.